Okay, this morning, I'd like to start with a passage from Psalm 82. Right, this is a psalm of Asaph. Right, it says, God presides in the great assembly. He gives judgment among the little g gods. Here's his words. How long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked? Defend the cause of the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They know nothing. They understand nothing. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. Please stand and join me in prayer. Father, we thank you that you gave us your word to show us the truth, and you gave us your son whose sacrifice redeemed us and allowed our relationship with you, Lord. Father, I ask that you would help each of us to be the body of Christ, to be what you've called us to be, Lord, to witness to those who are dead in sin and do not know you, Lord, to be a blessing to those, whether they know you or not, who need help. Father, guide our steps, guide our paths. Father, help us that we would use this time to say thank you, to praise your name, to lift you high. You truly are awesome. You are God among all gods. No little g God with you, Father. Father, let this time be yours. In the name of our blessed Savior Jesus, and all God's children said, Amen.
Psalm 95, 1 and 2. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Psalm 47, 1. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with cries of joy.
Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice!
John 15, 11 through 12. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My commandment is this. Love each other as I have loved you.
Yeah. Amen. Isn't that right? Amen. Thank you, Lord. And that's what we're going to sing about today.
This is my commandment, that ye love one another, that your joy may be full. Oh, this is my commandment, that ye love one another, that your joy may be full.
Oh, that's right. Go ahead and clap.
That your joy. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. This is my commandment.
Rejoice in the Lord,
rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, 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 and again I say rejoice, 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 and again I say rejoice, rejoice, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice.
Give me, clap your hands. Clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God.
God with a voice of triumph. Clap your hands,
all ye people, shout unto God with a voice of praise. Hosanna, Hosanna,
shout unto God with a voice of triumph.
Praise Him, praise Him,
shout unto God with a voice of praise. Clap your hands,
all ye people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph.
Clap your hands,
all ye people, shout unto God with a voice of praise.
Hosanna, Hosanna,
shout unto God with a voice of triumph.
Praise Him,
praise Him, shout unto God with a voice of praise.
All right, back to I've Got a River. Back to EMG.
Oh, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison's doors, sets the captive free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me.
Spring up, oh well,
within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well. To me, a life abundant is me.
Oh, this is my,
commitment, that you love one another, that you joy may be full.
Oh,
this is my commandment, that you love one another, that you joy may be full. That you joy.
All of those are scripture verses. That is exactly straight out of Psalms and of other various chapters throughout the Bible. But that's what we're singing about. That's what we're instructed to do. Thank you, Jesus. You be praised this day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Louder than the unbelief.
sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
In the presence of my enemies.
Sing a little louder.
Louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody.
Sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me.
Sing a little louder.
In the presence of my enemies.
Sing a little louder.
Louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody.
Sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me.
Sing a little louder.
And I'm gonna sing
in the middle of the storm.
Father God, it is our desire that you would continue to purify our hearts, purify our minds, draw us closer to you. Father God, we need more of you. We're asking that you do create in us a clean heart. Lord Jesus, we only have a glimpse of even what that means. Lord Jesus, help us to understand what that means, and I pray that you would draw us close to that. Help us to accept your gift of salvation. And walk in that power, that we are King's kids, that we are children of the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We praise you.
Oh God, and we
spirit within me and renew a right spirit.
Father God, that is our desire. And as we prepare for communion, we just thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your sacrifice. You may be seated.
Anyone need a Bible? We will get one to you. Raise your hand. Oh, I love it. Everybody brings their Bible. Ah, we do have. Joe, can you bring a Bible back, please? This morning, I'd like us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we'll begin with verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. Now often, and I've done it, we think of that last passage and we say that we should go to the Lord and ask him what sin is in our life that we need to confess, repent of, before taking communion. And that's very true in that. But I think in this case, Paul is actually doing something more with the Corinthians. That if we go back to verse 17, it says, "In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. In some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it's not for the Lord's Supper you eat. For you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anyone else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not." A couple weeks ago, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday. And it occurred to me how the resurrection, Jesus being raised from the dead, changed everything. Right? It changes our relationship with the Lord, changes our relationship with Jesus, our relationship with the Holy Spirit, our relationship with each other. Right? It changes our eternity. It changes our today. And It's funny, just this week I was having breakfast with a friend, and he says, he was encouraging. He asked how often we have communion, and I said, well, once a month. We prayed about it and felt that's what the Lord would have us do. And he says, boy, you should do it more often, right? And I think about it. I was reminded in the men's study a couple of times ago, one of the guys said that if we remembered that we had the Holy Spirit living within us, that we would act and speak differently. Right? The Lord brought a visual to me, right? It's like if I had a raw egg in my shirt pocket, you can bet that I would be very much aware of it. I would walk differently. I'd be careful of how I hug someone. But we should care with the Holy Spirit that same way. And I think that's Paul's message here, that, you know, we should be carrying Jesus with us always, not just when we have communion here together, and that we're blessed. This body, you know, I hear how, you know, one person is visiting another in a hospital or driving somebody to tonight there's a concert. And, you know, I know some people are driving others to this concert. I wouldn't be surprised if some people bought tickets for other people. I don't know. And that we're blessed that way. But I think, Paul, there's a warning for us here, too, that it's easy for us to forget that we have the Holy Spirit living within us. And so this morning, as a man, you can start passing out the elements, if you would, please. I'd ask that maybe you take a moment in prayer and ask the Lord to help you to remember that you're carrying the Holy Spirit with you every day, 24/7, 365. Right? Let that color the things we say, the things we think about each other, the things we are willing to do or for each other, the things that we refrain from doing to each other. That it would be a time when we live more like the disciples that we all want to be. And so Ed Men will pass out the elements and take some time in prayer, and then when you're ready, eat the bread and drink the juice. And thank the Lord that he has given us the Holy Spirit, that he was resurrected. He ascended into heaven and left the Holy Spirit to us. Heavenly Father, how do we say thank you for communion, Lord? There's nothing that we can do to earn your relationship with us, Lord. You give it to us through your Son freely. All we have to do is reach out and accept it. So we thank you, Lord, with all of our hearts, all of our souls, all of our spirit, Lord. Help us to be the disciples that you would want us to be, Lord. Let us be the body of Christ that you've commanded us to be. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. If you'll pass the cups to the end of the row, we can kind of collect them. And Pastor, I guess you're doing announcements?
Good morning, everybody. So good to see you guys. I mean that. You know what I see as I look around? As I look at all the vast diversity that we have in this body? All the uniqueness? You know what I see? A family. And I know you guys hear that a lot because when it talks about being the family of God. But, you know, when I really look around at that, when I really think about that, to me, that's what God's really putting together here. It's not a perfect family. Are there any perfect families? No, you got the quirky aunt. You got the diverse. You're right. You've got the uncle. You got the. But what I see is a family. I see God using you to really make a family here. Working not independently, but interdependently with one another. And I would encourage you to do that more and more. This, honestly, this church isn't set up to survive as a one-man show or a two-man show or the school of one person. We just can't do it. You know what? No, I'm sorry. You know what? We could do it, but it really wouldn't be led by the Holy Spirit. And that's what we want. And if the Holy Spirit's leading, that means that, Mrs. Hetherington, you have a part. That means, Mark, you have a part. Debbie, Anthony, Chris, Marcia, Neely, George, Martha. And no, he didn't say my name. I'm not a part. You guys know what I'm saying, right? I can't. You guys are all a part. And you're all ministering, doing stuff here, there. That's what the body of Christ does. And I'm so proud of that. So, all right. Well, we have a few announcements. I was gone this week. I'll talk about that in a second. So, Mark is going to be doing the teaching today. And we'll be teaching from God's Word today. And somewhere around here. Ah, look at this remote. Let me turn this on. Is it on? Are we on, George? If you wouldn't mind bringing up that. Thanks. Take your time. Just hurry up every chance you get. Yeah. Welcome, Sunil. Not sneaking in here. Your family. All right, well, one of the cool things that on this trip, as he's bringing up the PowerPoint, we went with a trip with the school, and, you know, our whole job is ministering, and so somebody came back and said, wow, you must be, you know, we're gone all week, totally refreshed, and, you know, and it was really well-intended, you know, and my, you know, my eye twitched a little bit, because I'm thinking, we're up at like 6:30 every morning. You know, you're getting breakfast, getting the kids going, getting them until about 11 o'clock at night, you know, and this doesn't, you know, there were long days. Well, I don't know what that is, 16, 17 hours, but it was great days. You know, it was fun days, and the amount of fun and discipleship and encouragement was just amazing. One of the parents, actually, we had some chaperones come with, and one of the families that from the school just said, you know, I never really realized how deeply you guys I'm trying to think of the exact words. I'm going to be a little off, but here's the heart of it. I never really realized how deeply you guys minister to our kids, to the depth that you go. I knew you guys did that, but now that I'm watching you do it all day long, all night long, I never realized. And I was just like, when I heard that, it was like, oh, thank you, Lord. Do you know what I mean? That's what each of us does, right? What we need to be doing as we carry, I like Gary's illustration of that egg in the pocket, right? Wouldn't we go place, we'd be a little bit more cautious what we did, what we, right? Because we didn't want to, that's the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And we need to remember that. Love that illustration. I'm going to steal that or borrow it. How about borrow, Gary? We can't, thou shalt not steal. Okay, did we bring in the bread? Okay, so we have tons of bread and goodies back there. In Jesus' name, we just want to give that to you free as a gift. And you know we receive tithes and offerings. Thank you guys for being generous and allowing us to continue to grow and do things here at the church and school. The tithes and offerings go back in the little bird box back there. We're not going to make you feel cajoled or manipulated into giving. You guys give freely. That's what you do. I'm going to wait on the directory because of time's sake. So we'll just have to move right along from that one, maybe. Yes? Click. Hey. I don't know if my thingy isn't working, George, or if you're doing it for me, but. Well, maybe God's trying to give you a message. No, I don't know. Somebody's not giving. All right. Well, if it's locked, then I'll. If not, if you would just do it manually, that'd be super duper. Okay. That's all right. The Lord will work it out. I'll wait till you get it back up, and I'll just talk a minute. The baptism we had was absolutely beautiful. I mean, yeah, there's a spot. You can sit there. The baptism we had, can I just say first off, thank you for so many people that came out. And listen, this isn't a guilt thing if you couldn't make it out that day. Do you know what I'm saying? This isn't the guilt. I knew I should have come. But it was so beautiful. Some other folks said, I can't believe how many people showed up just to support those people getting baptized. It was beautiful. It was amazing, actually. The baptism took literally hours. As so many people were sharing and giving gifts of encouragement and words of, it was just an amazing thing. I see people pointing at the screen, so that means. I know that this concert is tonight. Yes, and I guess Chantel, you've been waiting 17 years to go to this concert, so you're pretty excited. So okay, that's so you don't want to give up the ticket. Okay, we'll let you be selfish this one time. All right. Yeah. Hey, I think this definitely is not working. So George, if you're able, if not, then I'll keep talking. But, what I want to talk about was the baptism. That was a beautiful, beautiful, amazing thing. And I know we've got pictures, and if we don't show them this week, we'll show them next week. Yes. Is there anything you wanted to say? Yes, I do, actually, but I'd love for you. I'll give Jorge a minute, too.
I had helped to, with Gary and some of the others, to pick the site and pick the timing and location and all that stuff. And of course, with that, you feel a certain sense of responsibility that things would go properly and everything else. Well, there was a certain detail that I wasn't aware of. That on Sunday, every Sunday afternoon, they have a huge flea market that happens out on the beach there. So when Erica and I and the rest of the family showed up there at 3 o'clock, there was probably, another 1,000 people there where we were, and all of the walkway had double-sided 10x10 tents the entire length of the whole place, all of right where we were having our baptism. And I'll tell you, that was a faith walk for me. I was like, oh, dear Lord Jesus, how is this ever going to work out? And because there was no parking. There was no parking for anybody. There was no tables. There was, you know, we could barely find the beach. Anyway, it was just crazy. And I'm thinking, okay, and all these people, and of course I find out that they stop at 4 o'clock. So I'm like, okay, well, if they're done at 4, then maybe by 5 they'll be out of here. So, you know, at 4 o'clock, they're just starting to take down the stuff. And I'm like, oh, Lord, we got a half hour to get 1,000 people out of here. And anyway, and but a stillness, a peace came over me towards the end, because my family will attest I wasn't peaceful up until that point. But towards the end, a peace came over me that, you know, the Lord found his own places to do baptism. Back in the day, he went around the countryside and he figured it out. So I just kind of finally just, God, you're going to find your place to baptize these folks, and it's going to work out, and I'm just going to sit and watch and see how it pans out. And that's exactly what happened. So God be praised. I learned a lesson. So that's God be praised.
That's really awesome. Yes. Yes. So everyone, Gary's right. So listen to Gary, I think is what we're trying to say right here. Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, no, not it. Okay, I'm sorry, Gary. Yes. Yes. So thank you, Lord. So anyway, it was an amazingly beautiful thing. And just all you folks that went out and supported everybody. And there were other people. Some people, as we were walking back, They didn't even go. We were just applauding you guys. We were watching the baptism from the beach, and we were just applauding you. Other people were coming over, and just saying, "This is just so beautiful." And it was. It was an amazing thing. I think we baptized what, 8 people? Eight people, and it was absolutely fantastic. And each one has been unique. There was no hurricane going on, as it was time or two in the past, but it was still just as amazing and just as beautiful to sit and watch. And so, George, are you able to get that up or no? It's just not coming up. Okay. All right. You have about 2 minutes, and then I'm bailing. Yeah. And we'll just bring it next week. But the pictures are so beautiful. And we baptized folks from like 6 to 66. And so it was just an amazing diversity, too, and lots of tears were shed and lots of excitement coming out of that water, just saying, leaving all that sin behind, leaving that past behind. Someone who was relatively new to the church just was just saying, I was just almost in tears. I'm just watching God work. And I was like, man, that's what it is. We're watching God work. So we're also going to have some new Bible studies that are coming up. And maybe the Lord's just saying, I took so much time with slides this morning, didn't get here till late. So maybe the Lord's just like, see, you didn't really need those slides. One of the things is a woman's Bible study, and I'm going to let Erica talk about this. So, Erica, I really have really beautiful slides for the Cracker Barrel and the other.
Well, the ladies group has taken on a little bit of a different turn. Come on up here. I'd like to introduce my new co-leader, Florence. Yay! She was working in the kids' ministry today, so she snuck over. So, yes, we're very excited. We've been meeting. We've been praying together. And we do have a new Bible study that we're going to start. We're going to start it in June. My first announcement is our normal Bible study, which is not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday, we're going to be unable to meet because of lots and lots going on in the month of May. It's super busy. So we are going to postpone that Bible study for the month of May. However, the ladies are going to gather together in May at the end of the month on a Saturday morning. It's going to be the last Saturday in May. We're going to meet at Cracker Barrel. No slide. That's okay. we're going to just meet at Cracker Barrel for just a time of fellowship, just to get to know one another and to talk. And we'll have a sign-up sheet in the back for as many ladies as want to come. I'll give Cracker Barrel a heads up, and we'll set some tables aside for us. And we'll just be kicking it off. Yes?
Is that on the 25th?
Is the last Saturday in May, I think. I was thinking it was the 28th, but maybe the 25th. Okay?
Which Cracker Barrel?
The one on Cortez Road. Mm-hmm, Cortez Road. And then after that, we're very excited to announce our new Bible study that we're going to start. It's Beth Moore, and it's called Living Beyond Yourself. And it's a Bible study about the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And we're going to take a look at each one of those fruits of the Spirit in depth and learn about how to activate them in our life. Because as Christians, we are walking around with fruit on our tree, right? And so we want to make sure that the fruit that's hanging there is not rotten, and that we can be identified by our fruits. So, because the Bible does say that we are known by our fruits. So we're going to learn about that. Anything you want to say?
Well, I actually had a little second grader give me a verse. And thank you. And it's from Hebrews 10:24. And I thought it was appropriate. It came to me this morning. It says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works." And I thought, what a good way to be able to do that as women, to get to know each other and pray for each other and learn the word and just develop a real friendship. And, you know, we need each other. We need each other. So I know I need y'all. So I hope that y'all will, you know, come and just help us, and you know, we may be the facilitators, but we certainly need you to be there, because we're going to learn from you probably more than you're going to learn from us. But we hope to share that, and that's all I got to say.
And on that vein, and starting in June, we are also going to go to twice a month. So we'll be the second and fourth Tuesday of every month. So, yay! So I'm so blessed to be working with Flo. And by the way, she's got so much wisdom, I can't wait. So, thank you.
So one more thing with that, too. It's also, now this is just so you guys girls know, we want to, just to promote that Cracker Barrel. If you do sign up for that, again, for the folks that are part of this church, the women who are part of this church, the girls who are part of this church, it's free as a gift in Jesus' name from this body. We just want to promote girls getting together, getting to know one another, and sharing. And sometimes, okay, maybe that little nudge would help. You know what? Cracker Barrel's good food. So, good food, a good God, go together. So good fellowship. So we want to encourage you to go do that as well. And then also, especially, listen, we've got different Bible studies coming up. And ladies, I would even say this. If you can only take, we've got a Thursday night Francis Chan study that's coming up that Mark is co-leading with us. And so we're letting him have the opportunity to do that. But even so, I would probably say, ladies, if you have to pick between Tuesday and Thursday night, for this Bible study, especially for all the, I would say, ladies, go to the girls' Bible study for this one. Okay? That would be my personal encouragement. Yes, Erica?
And we're working on childcare.
Oh, yes. That's another thing. Yes. And people always ask, are we going to have childcare? And the answer is, Lord willing, yes, we are going to provide childcare. So you will be able to come. And that doesn't mean you can drop off your husbands. That means. Okay. unless he's serving. Okay, so we have a couple of baptism pictures, okay? And it was just amazing. Okay, so I even love this picture at Leslie. Just it's a school shirt, but loving Jesus, loving learning, and loving families. And that's just so right on. There were so many people. You can't see from some of these pictures, but they encircled the whole table here. And it was just an absolutely amazing time watching the folks get baptized. So here's the group picture. So listen, guys, if you would please, these are all newbies in Christ Jesus, okay? First off, they very much need your prayer. They very much need your encouragement. They very much need your counsel. They very much need you in every way. And so they need your fellowship. So help them, help yourself, get involved, get active, get into fellowship. And we'll have more pictures from the baptism, just beautiful pictures next week. But that's all I had time for to get together this week. Okay, prayer, Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. We want to encourage you to come out and pray. If Gary, if you would make sure those people who have just given their hearts and lives to Christ, just got baptized, we pray for every week. I would really appreciate that. Women's Bible study, you guys know there's nothing this month other than the Cracker Barrel. Okay, and I don't know if that's May 28th because you said, because that's what you told me. But whatever that is, right? 25th. Last Saturday of the month on Cortez, Cracker Barrel.
I'll be announcing it, probably
9:30. All right. And then also this is the Women's Bible Study, right? Starting June 11th, right? 2nd and 4th. All right. Here at each Home Fellowship Church. Okay, fantastic. We don't have Guy's Bible Study, right? Yeah. We do this week? I knew that. Just testing you. Okay, 6 p.m. for dinner, 6:30 Bible Study here for our Men's Bible Study. That's this Tuesday, man up. Whosoever's Bible study, I heard they did a teaching on purity last Wednesday, and so somebody said that was good. And so this 6:30 to 8:30, whosoever's youth group, Forgotten God, Thursday night is going to be an 8-week course from 6:30 to 8 here at Home Fellowship Church, May 9th. Is that's next? This Thursday. That's what I'm talking about. It's this Thursday, you guys. You need to. Okay, so this Thursday, if you would like to come out, okay, we would love to have you. 8-week study, okay? And Experiencing God, another one we'll get to that. Just really quickly, just a couple quick pictures. We started off, we did a cultural geography in school. So this is the 3rd through 5th grade. And so we took them to where it's the start to Israel. And to Jerusalem. And so we started at the Holy Land exhibit, and this is them. We spent the entire day there. This is them after their Roman warrior training at the Holy Land exhibit. We spent the day there. Then we went to Epcot, and we spent the entire day visiting each country with passports, being a good witness wherever we went, in visiting all the different countries of the world in Epcot another day. It was an amazing time. Oh, that's a fantastically bad. I didn't crop the shot. Sorry. Now I remember. So we'll let you see that. Then we went to the Polynesian village and was involved in a luau, and that was really wonderful. We'll get you a better shot of that next week. That was Darren in a hurry, as your pastor in a hurry. And then we had just a time of relaxation in the pool, and it was just a fantastic time. So. Okay, and we'll do James next week, but without further ado, Mark Manley, would you come up here, and let's pray, and let's get into the Word of God if we can. Father, we just ask you to bless Mark right now, Lord. You know what you want him to speak and to preach, Lord. I just ask in Jesus' name that you would help him to be aware of what you want to say, what you want to say, when you want to say it, Lord, that you would give him the mind of Christ. The eyes of compassion of our Savior. You would anoint his tongue to speak your words, Lord God. And you would help him to do that today in Jesus' name. And then you would help me next week, Lord, just to prepare the James teaching for next week, Lord. We thank you. We ask you to bless Mark. Bless us today, Lord, and all those who are hurting or have lost a loved one this week, Lord, that you would just wash over them with compassion and comfort and care. And you know who they are. We ask your blessing on this day and these people in Jesus' name alone. Amen.
Can you make sure this is good?
I can do that. You're on, sir.
Can you hear me, George? Yep, you can hear me. Let us pray real quick. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we come. Lord, I need you to speak the words. I need you to deliver the message. Because what you want to deliver here was completely different from what I thought we were going to talk about 2 weeks ago. But it is so powerful that that message needs to go out. And I thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to have you speak to this congregation through me this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, George, am I working here? Great. Okay. Okay. Today we're going to teach through this. And we are going to finish John 14 today. And it is John 14, 27 through 31. And I've titled it, Be the Want To for the People You Love. Because be the want to. John 14, 27 through 31. And I thought this was going to be the same format that the Lord has had me use through the all of John 14. But these four verses are completely different. And these four verses, in these four verses, all of the seven realities of experiencing God are accomplished in those four verses. And I've got to start out by telling you, I don't know if it was a year and a half ago, one Sunday, Joel and I were walking the property, and we were praying over this church and this body. And when we got to that corner out there, all of a sudden the Lord pointed something out to me. And he said, look down that street. This church is physically located where it is because of that street. There's a crossroads. There's a fork in the road right at the end of this street, and you can see it from here. And the people that come to this church face that crossroads. Everybody. Are you going to take a road with the Lord, or are you going to take a road with the world? That's why we're here. Okay? And what has transpired in these last few weeks and when we went through this course for 2 or 3 months is the entire book of Exodus. When the Israelites were slaves and God called Moses to set the people free. Well, this church is called to set the people free. Not from Egypt, but from the sin of the world. From the trials and the temptations and all of those things that the world we think has to offer. But in reality, it's a prison. And we are called to set the people free. And last week, when we had that baptism, there were 8 people that decided that they were going to follow Jesus. They made that decision prior to getting baptized, but they made a public profession and said, I am going to follow Jesus. And they got a smiling face right here. I've got some people here that the most amazing thing I think that I heard And I forget who said it. I think it was probably you. When you said, you know, I've been praying for my family for years. 40 years. And she said, and in the one case, she said, and I had given up on her. But I never gave up on Jesus. And that's the message today. Jesus is about to go to the cross. They're leaving the Last Supper. And in John 14, starting in verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now, I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commands me. Get up. Let us go from here." One of the things that it says up here, you must make adjustments in your life to join God in what he is doing. That's number 6. Jesus knew that he could not stay where he was and do the redemptive work that the Father had called him to do. He said, "Get up. We're leaving. We're going. We're going to accomplish that which the Father has sent me to do." How did Jesus accomplish this? 2 things. Through his obedience and his faith in the Father. You see, Jesus had walked on the earth for about 3 years in his ministry. He was in his early 30s. It's probably 33 when he got crucified. But in the 3 years that he ministered, his mission was never his own. Because in Philippians chapter 2, he tells us that he emptied himself and he did the will of the Father who sent him. He had no will of his own. He became a bondservant. Okay, so he had no will of his own. And he developed his faith in knowing that the Father was going to do what he told him he would do because he did it every time. The Father never once let him down. And he never had his own agenda. He would always go and ask the Father, "Okay, what's up for today?" I know it doesn't say that in here, but I can't imagine that there was any other way that he did it when he went away to pray. He didn't say, "Oh, Father, I want to do this or that or the other." He had to go in obedience if he emptied himself. If he had no will of his own, he had to do the will of the Father. And that's what he did. So he had faith. He knew he could trust completely and implicitly what the Father called him to do. And he knew where he was headed. He was headed to a horrible, gruesome, exceedingly painful death, to be crucified on the cross and not tied up, but nailed to the cross, hands and feet. He knew the pain that he was going to have to endure, but he did it willingly. Why? Because he had faith in the Father and trust in the Father, because the Father had come through for him every single time. And he knew that all of us were counting on him. Because if he didn't do his redemptive work, none of us would be able to be in the presence of the Father. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves me. He died for each one of us. And the Father knew it was going to happen. And he knew that the Holy Spirit had the power to bring him back. It was all on the line. Nothing was held back. It was all or nothing. And he won. And therefore, we win. And that's how we accomplish what it is that we're called to do. And so we have to have faith in God. And we have to be obedient to him. Now, what is faith? Hebrews 11:1 and 11:6 tell you the importance. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hello? And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we need to know what we have faith in, and what does the Word of God say. That is how we can do what it is that we are called to do. And we want to pray. Many of us still have loved ones that are not saved. And we want to pray for them. And sometimes we don't know how to pray. And we think, well, Lord, please save this person. Save that person. Save my brother. Save my sister. Save my wife. Save my husband. I'm not seeing any fruit. Well, guess what? The problem is not in the gift that has been given. Because Jesus said, God the Father said about the Lord Jesus Christ in John 3:16. Who knows that verse from heart? Erica, what is it?
For God so loved the world.
The word.
Yeah, that too. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in me should not perish, but have everlasting life.
The word there, I think, is gave. The Lord gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have life everlasting. You see, the gift has been given. God the Father gave the gift. There's a real problem, though. The question is, have I received it? You see, I have a choice to make. God gave the gift. The question is, have I received it? Because if on Christmas morning there's a whole bunch of presents underneath the tree, and they have your name on it, and you never open the gift, you never received it. It could be a 72-inch flat-screen TV costing $10,000, but if you don't open the package, plug it in, you never received it, and you'll still be watching it on your cell phone. Okay? We have to receive the gift that God gave. Now, there's some problems that we have with praying for the lost. There's certain things that we have to be aware of. And if we're aware of them, we can ask God to do what he already wants to do, but we can ask him to do more of it. You see, what happens is that when we are born alive physically, but dead spiritually. The reason we're born dead spiritually is because of the fall that happened in the Garden of Eden. See, in Genesis 2:7, it says, "Then the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." That's where man was created, and we were created with his spirit inside of us. But he told Adam, not Eve, he told Adam, "Do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you do, you will surely die." Well, guess what? Adam thought, well, maybe he's holding something back. His wife was given fruit. He did not stand in the gap and protect her. He allowed her to bite that fruit. She was disconnected. He ate of the same apple because she did not physically die. But then he was physically and spiritually disconnected from God the Father Almighty. And that is how we were created to be. The consequences of that are in Genesis 5, verse 3. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness and after his image and called his name Seth. We were created in the image of God, but we are born in the image of Adam. And in the image of Adam, there is no spiritual connection to God the Father. So that's why when Jesus says you must be born again in John chapter 3, we have to be because we are not spiritually alive. So when these folks got baptized last week and made this profession that they were going to follow Jesus in their lives, when they came up out of that water, they realized, I don't have those grave clothes on anymore. They're gone. We have been set free. And I tell you, I remember when I was baptized and I came up out of the water, it was like being set free. Okay? Because we don't have that anymore. Jesus allowed us to be set free from all of our past, all of the things that we have done, all of the things that were done to us, all the wrongs that were committed, all the wrongs that we ever will commit. Jesus paid the full price. And we are the recipients of that. But the problem that we have with our loved ones is they don't have that connection. So they can't hear from God. And it doesn't make any sense to them. Okay? Because in 1 Corinthians, it tells us that for the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So if what I'm saying to you makes no sense, if it's foolishness to you, you don't have the connection with God the Father Almighty that he intended for us to have that happens when we get born again. There's a totally different perspective. One, if we don't have that connection, we are self-centered. We take all of the leading that we have from the world, from Facebook, from whatever other social media is out there telling us all of the lies that we're believing, and anything that comes on the TV screen or some political figure or whatever. It's all self-centered. It's no wonder most of us are grumpy all the time, because that's all the stuff that comes out. We have to make a conscious effort to not listen to that, but spend time in here and spend time with brothers and sisters and get the godly perspective. But to them, they can't hear. They don't know. So, the other thing is they have no intention whatsoever of coming to the Lord. So, guess what? He has a plan. He has a plan for all of this. It says in John 6, 44 and 45, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him to life on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has listened to the Father and learned comes to me." The Father is constantly drawing us. He is constantly trying to get us to come closer to Him. And he told me something this morning that was pretty amazing. He said, even the people that are unsaved at this point that have believers in their family are doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know what that is? That's drawing us as believers closer to God the Father. Praying harder and more often for our loved ones that are lost. And that is what God wants us to do, to draw closer to Him. And when we've got people that we're praying for, that we know, that may already be saved or not saved, they're accomplishing their objective by us being drawn closer to God the Father. So if you have someone in your life that is not showing fruit and you're praying hard for them, just say, "Lord, thank you. Thank you that you have someone in my life that is drawing me closer to you." Okay? That's their job right now. So let's be satisfied with that. You know, it's funny. I really believe that all of us, when we're created, when we're born, have the same goal. God has the same goal for all of us. And that is to be drawn closer to Him. It doesn't matter if you're saved or not saved. If someone is saved in your life and they're praying for you, they're praying that you get drawn closer to them. So God is using circumstances in your life to draw you closer, but you're drawing me closer because I'm praying for you. So we're all accomplishing this. And when you look at it from that standpoint and you pray about it and you think, you know, Lord, my objective, my mission as a husband is to love my wife as Christ loved the church and He sacrificed Himself for her. And that's what I'm supposed to do. But I can't do that in my own power. Her needs, I have to look at as, wow, Lord, how can you love her through me? And my job, my calling is different. One of my callings, and I'm very fortunate for it, is teaching. And the Lord has given me opportunities here at this church to do that. Her job, and she tells me all the time, "Mark, I'll never be able to do what you do." But you know what? That's not what she's called to do. What she is called to do is to draw me closer to Him through her questions. Wow. And then we get to explore the Word of God together and find out what He has for both of us together. So another problem that we have is they don't have ears to hear. And let's see if I can We need spiritual ears to hear. Because spiritual language is what's being spoken. It's not what we hear in our physical ears. It's what we hear in our spiritual ears. And in the Revelation 2:7, it says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in paradise of God." In the paradise of God. You got to have spiritual ears. You have to know that the Father's going to draw him or her. Okay? And we need a mind to understand, because initially it comes through the mind. It says we need a mind to understand spiritual things. Luke 24, 45, 44 and 45. This was after Jesus' resurrection. And he was walking down the road, and there were two of his disciples that were there. And they were talking about what had happened and all of this. And it says, "While I was still with you," Jesus says, "I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the book of the prophets and the Psalms had to happen." Then he helped them understand the scriptures. Another translation says, "He opened their minds to understand the scriptures." You see, that's something we can pray for our lost loved ones. Lord, open their minds to understand the scriptures. Open their ears so that they can hear what it is that needs to be said. And there's another one. And that's in Ephesians 1, 17 through 20. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. We are his inheritance. We are important to him. And it tells us in Scripture that it is in the heart that man believes. So what we're asking God the Father to do is to open the eyes of our hearts. Give us ears to hear and a mind to understand the Scriptures. And the good news is we also ask him to draw our loved ones closer. And these are prayers that we can pray every day, because we can pray, "Lord, I know that yesterday my brother was close, but today, Lord, please draw him closer." And tomorrow we can ask the same thing. Draw them closer and closer and closer. "Lord, today, please make sure that my ears are open. Make sure that my mind is open today to see the scriptures. Make sure that my heart is open today. I'm not worried about tomorrow, because tomorrow may never come." And when you ask these prayers, there's one more thing that we can do. And this is where we really have to have our spiritual ears on. This is very, very important, because this is what Jesus had to do when he was on the earth and he walked on the earth. "Father, what would you have me pray for this person?" That's when we have to shut up.
Along the lines of the Ephesians 1:17 to 20 and how it's a prayer,
in the ladies group a couple of months ago, I actually, Mark, typed up the prayer, and mm-hmm. I put blanks in so you could fill in the names, and I've got five spare ones. So if anybody wants them, it's that actual verse in as a prayer mm-hmm. rewritten. So.
And the other thing I would encourage each of us to do is to personalize the scripture. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about, because this is out of Isaiah. This is what the new walk looks like. Okay? It says in Isaiah 9, starting in verse 2, it says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." What we're talking about here is the darkness of sin that they have been living in. Now they've seen a great light, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. They lived in a land of shadows, but now a light is shining on them. You have given them great joy. You have made them happy. They rejoice in what you have done, as people rejoice when they harvest grain or when they divide captive wealth. For you have broken the yoke of the burden on them and the rod that beat their shoulders. You have defeated the nation that oppressed and exploited your people. And any time when it says you or your, you can put your name in there, or you can put the names of your loved ones in there and say, you defeated the yoke of Bob and Sandy and Todd and Kurt. Give him credit for doing what he says he's already done, but let's personalize it. Let's put their names in there. The boots of the invading army and all their blood-stained clothes will be destroyed by fire. A child is born to us. Again, it's a gift. It's a gift that we have been given. The question is, have we said yes? Have we received the gift? If we have, then, and he will be our ruler. That means the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that is now in control of our lives. We are no longer self-centered, we are God-centered. And we are taking our leading from him. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. His royal power will continue to grow. His kingdom will always be at peace. He will rule in King David's successor, basing his power on right and justice. From now on until the end of time, the Lord Almighty has determined to do all of this. What part of the work do we have to do? None. What do we have to do? We have to receive the gift. That's our part. We have to be the recipients of the gift. We have to say yes. But here's the thing. When we say yes, we have to allow him to be the Lord of our lives. And many of us wonder, how can I be the want to for those that I love? What can I do to draw them kicking and screaming into the kingdom of God? And the answer, as always, is in Scripture. We have to realize a couple of things. Galatians 6:7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap." So we have to be aware of what are we sowing. All right? And so what are we going to sow so that we can reap a good harvest? A man named Dale Carnegie in 1920. I don't know if any of you have heard of him or not, but he's basically known as the father of public speaking. He started it out in a YMCA when he was teaching a class, and he ran out of good things to say in about 30 minutes. And what he did was he started calling on the audience members to come up and give an example or do something else, and thus the Dale Carnegie Course was born. He wrote a book, very famous, very good book, called How to Win Friends and Influence People. Now, I don't know if he knew scripture or not. It's still published. It's a very, very good book. But the two most important things that he wrote in that book are both scriptural. And this is how we can be the want to for other people. Rule number one, don't criticize, condemn, and complain. So folks, when we're talking to our family members, when we're talking to our kids, when we're talking to our spouse, what are we saying? Are we criticizing? Are we condemning? Are we complaining? Then that's not the seeds that we want to be planting. The rule number two, these are the seeds you want to plant. Give honest, sincere appreciation. Boy, do we want to hear that. Now, we're not talking about flattery or any of that kind of stuff. We're talking about, I really appreciate how you have helped someone else do this, how you have ministered to another person. And that's what's important. Don't criticize, condemn, and complain. Now, what does it say in the scriptures? You're going to see, don't criticize, condemn, and complain in Galatians 5, 14 through 21, where it says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word of the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets the desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are they are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you. Of these who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What's the stuff that comes across Facebook? What's the stuff that comes across the news? What's it, all the things that are coming from the media? It's all these things. Those are the seeds that are being sown in our minds. And we cannot listen to them because we need to listen to the truth. And the truth is Galatians 5, 22 through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Remember the beginning where it said, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. When you're walking through life, you're carrying two bags of seeds. Are we going to criticize, condemn, and complain and throw weeds out there? Or Are we going to give honest, sincere appreciation? And so love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And gather those fruits. When we sow good seeds, we are much more attractive than when we sow a bunch of weed seeds. Let's be careful. Let's pay attention to what we're saying and what we're doing and how we're treating other people. And when we do that, then someone will come up and say, wow, what do you have that I don't have? How can I get what you've got? Then we have an opportunity to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to speak through us to them about his ministry to them through us. That's what we want. That's how we become the want to, by listening to him and sowing good seeds so that we can reap the harvest that God the Father Almighty wants to reap through us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we come. And I thank you, Father, that you showed up today, that you're here, that you're ministering to your people. I pray, Lord, that each of us would have ears to hear, open hearts, open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, and open our minds to receive and understand the scriptures so that we can pray effectively for the ones that we love so that they can come to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, everybody.